Psalm 119. Before any of you get too nervous, we're just going to take a section of this psalm, and we're going to be in verses 73 through 80. Psalm 119, verses. I want to begin by just reading this section. Psalm 119, verses 73 through 80. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. I hope you noticed in that reading the emphasis on God's word throughout that section. And really, that's the emphasis throughout the whole psalm. The most quoted passage, verse, I would say, in Psalm 119 is verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And really, that is what this psalm is about. There are two different words for law that are used a combined 48 times in this psalm. The word for word occurs 24 times in this psalm. Statutes is used 23 times. Commands occurs 22 times. Decrees occurs 21 times. Precepts occurs 21 times. Promise occurs 19 times. All these different terms to speak of God's word are used in all 178 times in 176 verses. The emphasis is on God's word. On average, God's word is mentioned at least once in every verse. What the psalmist is trying to get across to us is how important God's word is in our lives, what it did for him. He's going to be showing us how, in hard times, he turns to God's word. When everything is going well, God's word is what he loves to read. Beginning here in verse 73, your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. The psalmist here affirms that God has made and fashioned him. And so he asks that he can have this understanding that God has. In Proverbs 3, verse 19, it talks about how through understanding and through wisdom, God created the world. Here in this verse, by saying that God has created him, he is affirming God's understanding. He's saying, you have the understanding to create me, and so I'm looking to you for understanding. God is the one that we need to go to in order to have understanding. And where is this understanding found? Well, in the end of verse 73, it's in God's commandments that we can find understanding, that we can find wisdom. It's in God's word. This question of begging God to give him understanding is not a new one in this psalm. Look back in Psalm 119, verse 12. Verse 12 says, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Verse 26. When I told of my ways, you answered me, teach me your statutes. Verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Verse 68. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. This is so important to the psalmist that he can understand what God has written for him, what he has given him in his word. So he begs God throughout this psalm, teach me your statutes. Help me to understand what you have commanded me. I think it's good for us each time that we open God's word, each time that whether we're studying together, whether we're studying at home by ourselves, that we offer up this same prayer, that God will give us an understanding of what he's written, that we can not just read, but that we can understand, that we can live, that we can change based on what his word has to say. Verse 74, those who fear you shall see me and rejoice because I have hoped in your word. Other people who are of the same mind as this psalmist here, they are going to be encouraged when they see his faith, when they see what he does, and they're going to rejoice because he has hoped in God's word. We are examples to other people. And of course, everybody knows, it seems like somebody is always saying, you know, somebody is always watching. And that seems hard to believe. But I really do think that that's true. And oftentimes it's the people that you're not going to expect that are paying the closest attention. And they're seeing how you respond to certain things. If you're different from other people. Are we going to be an encouragement to those people to do what's right? Are we going to be hoping in God's word so that we're examples to them? In Psalm 34, verse 2, just another example of someone who's leading by example. Psalm 34, verse 2. David says, my soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. This reminds us of 1 Corinthians 1, the end of that chapter. Don't let anyone boast. Let him boast in the Lord. Let's not boast in ourselves. Let's boast in the Lord. And here, as David boasts in the Lord, other people who have this same mind, other people who are humble, are encouraged by this, and they also want to be more humble. So we are examples to other people. We're lights to other people. And we have to make sure that we're constantly being that example. We're constantly being that light because we don't know who might be watching. And I think it's tempting to think that really our example doesn't mean that much. And our light really doesn't shine that brightly. And it doesn't affect anybody. And nobody's really going to notice if we don't do what's right. But light always triumphs over darkness. No matter how dark everything around you is, and no matter how small you may be, your light that you're shining, somebody is going to see it. Somebody's going to be encouraged by it. And somebody's going to notice. And we always have to think about that in every situation that we're in, that we have to shine our light so somebody can benefit from it. Verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. I want you to think about how hard that had to be for him to say. In faithfulness, you have afflicted me. He understands that God is allowing him to go through this, that God is afflicting him. And yet he is willing to say, it was good that I went through this. It was in faithfulness that you have afflicted me. Just the humility in that attitude is admirable. Look back up in verse 67. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. So he was going astray. He was not on the right path. He was not obeying God. But the Lord afflicted him and brought him back. And it was a wake-up call for him, and he understood that. Verse 71, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. He sees in this situation he was afflicted, but because of that he learned God's statutes. Because of that, he started doing what was right. It's important for us to have this attitude in affliction. Maybe God is trying to get my attention. Maybe I'm not doing what's right. Maybe I need to change what I'm doing. And this is the attitude that the psalmist has. And he changes and he gets back on that right path because he was afflicted. Because he has the right attitude toward that affliction. Verse 76. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Again, the Lord is the one who is afflicting him. And yet he's saying here, let your steadfast love comfort me. He's running to the one who's afflicting him. He's trusting in the one who's putting him through this because he realizes that God knows what's good for him. God is going to bring him through this. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26. There, right at the end of that verse, it says, in the day when the Lord binds up the brokenness of his people and heals the wounds inflicted by his blow. In the day when the Lord binds up the brokenness of his people and heals the wounds inflicted by his blow. I think that is such a beautiful passage. God is inflicting the blow, but God is healing it. He's the one who's putting us through affliction, but he's the one we need to run to for healing. The psalmist realizes that here, and he runs to God. He looks for his steadfast love. He looks for the promise that he has been given. I hope that we all have that attitude in the midst of our affliction, that it will lead us to God instead of away from him. So often people are led away from God because of affliction, when all the time God is really wanting them to run into his arms. Verse 77, let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. He prays for mercy, and he realizes that God is the only through God's mercy, through God's grace, is the way that he can live another day. Every breath we have is a gift from God. And he realizes that. He realizes he's on borrowed time. But he prays to God for mercy so that he can live. And notice at the end of that verse, what is the reason that he desires to live another day? So that he can read God's law. Because God's law is his delight. Just recently, I was visiting my brother, and we went to a meeting on the Tuesday night that I was up there. And my brother was friends with the young man who was speaking. And he just, you know, he walked up to him before the lesson, and he said, you know, what have you been up to lately? What have you been doing? And he sat there and he thought about it for a while, and he said, well, I've been studying Ephesians a lot. Ephesians was what he was about to speak on. He was preaching on all six chapters of Ephesians throughout the week. And he said, you know, I've been studying Ephesians. And then he paused for a little bit and he said, we're also buying a house. But that was the second thing that he thought of. And you know, as big as buying a house is, and that's a pretty big deal, and I think most people would have thought of that first, but his delight was in the Lord. His delight was in God's Word. And that's the first thing that he thought of, was that he had been studying Ephesians. And this is the attitude of the psalmist here. My delight is in the Lord. This is what I like to do. I like to read God's Word. I like to understand what is in it. This is the attitude that we need to have as well. Verse 78. Let the insolent be put to shame, because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. The insolent have wronged him here. And they have put him through affliction. And this is different from the affliction that the Lord has put him in the previous verse. Back in verse 75, in righteousness the Lord has afflicted him. But here in this verse, here in verse 78, the insolent have wronged me with falsehood. This is different. You know, God is doing this for his good. But these people are just trying to hurt him and put him to shame. What is the way that he's going to escape this, though? He's going to read God's Word. He's going to meditate on God's Word. The insolent are trying to put him to shame, but he is going to study the Word, and he is going to gain strength from God. 79. Let those who fear you turn to me, that they may know your testimonies. Here in this verse, he is looking for people that he can teach. He wants people to come to him so that he can teach them about God's Word. He's looking for opportunities. This is such a great attitude to have. I think so often we think, I don't really have any opportunities. I don't have people to speak to about God. I don't think I'm very good at that sort of thing. But because the law of the Lord is his delight, he is looking for people that he can teach. He is looking for people that he can be that light, he can be that example to. And this is the kind of attitude that we need to have as well. I wonder too if in his mind here, is if he's hoping that he can find people who have not been through the afflictions that he's had to be put through, because he strayed away from God's law. He wasn't doing what God told him to do. And maybe he is wanting to warn these people. He's wanting to teach them so that they don't have to go through those things that he went through, and so that they can do what is right. Turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians with me. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. This is a verse we're going to use in the sermon here later. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. If we fear the Lord, we're going to be looking for others that we can encourage, looking for others that we can teach, that we can persuade to obey what God has said. We are looking for these people that we can be examples to, that we can help spread the word to. Do we have this desire that the psalmist has? Do we love the scriptures this much that we want to teach it to everyone we come in contact with? I think it's interesting. I'm just amazed in reading this psalm that this is all that he can talk about, is God's word. Whatever is on your heart, that's what you're going to talk about. You know, if you watched college football yesterday all day, you're going to talk about that today. Whatever is on your mind, that's what you're going to talk about. And what's on the psalmist's mind is what God's word has done for him and how it has changed him. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, Paul says, I decided to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified. That's the kind of attitude this psalmist has. That's the kind of attitude that he's trying to encourage us to have. To know nothing except God's word and to speak that to everyone that we come in contact with. Verse 80. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. He begs the Lord to help him to do what is right, that he can be blameless in his sight because he's following the truth of God's word. God's word brings life. Turn back over to Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. This is where Moses is speaking to the people of Israel and he's telling them, you have a choice to make. Let's start back in verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I commanded you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in His ways, and by keeping His commandments and His statutes and His rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are inheriting and taking possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and to serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him. For He is your life and the length of your days, and you, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is a life or death situation. Are we going to choose God and His Word? Or are we going to choose what we want to do? And that's what Moses was asking the people there. What are you going to choose? You're going into this land, and this can either go well for you, you can live, or it may not last long. You can die if you do what is wrong. And this is the choice that we have to make. I really like the end of this verse here. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. Help me not to be ashamed of your word. Help me to live boldly in it, to be able to proclaim it boldly to other people. Turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, verse 16, I think most people could probably quote this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This is what the psalmist is praying for, that he has this kind of boldness, that he will not be ashamed. One more passage in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul is just talking about here, putting on the armor of the gospel, being ready to spread the word to other people, being ready to proclaim it boldly to other people. And he says in verse 18 that we should all be praying for one another. And then in verse 19 he says, also pray for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. I pray that we all have this boldness, that we can proclaim God's word to other people, that we are ready, that we are excited to give a defense of the faith that we have. Let us not be put to shame when it comes to God and His Word. I read in a commentary this paragraph that sums up this section, and I think that it does it quite well. This section affirms that God's hands made and fashioned the psalmist, that God's loving kindness is a comfort, and that God's compassions allow the psalmist to live. In response, the psalmist finds delight in God's instruction, meditates on God's precepts, and is not ashamed. So you see what God is doing for the psalmist, and the psalmist's response to that. God has done so much for us. Are we going to love Him and obey what He has said in turn? I also want to mention this, and this is hard to just say when you don't have anything to look at that shows this. But if you look at verse 73, your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Okay, now look down at verse 80. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. You see what ties those two verses together is he's asking for help that he can learn his statutes, that he can learn God's statutes, then he cannot be put to shame. Then verse 74, those who fear you shall see me and rejoice because I have hoped in your word. This ties in with verse 79. Let those who fear you turn to me that they may know, your testimonies. In both cases, he's saying, may other people be encouraged by me studying. May other people be encouraged because they see me and they rejoice in what I'm doing. And then in verse 79, may other people come to me that I can teach them. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. This ties in with verse 78. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Both of those tie in because he's going through affliction in this time. The middle two verses here, 76 and 77, tie in. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live. There in verse 77, for your law is my delight. That was probably really confusing. That's not as clear as I wish it could have been. But you see the beginning and the end and everything in between ties together, and it's just a beautiful layout for this psalm. If you don't get anything else out of this, what I want you to get out of this, what the psalmist wants you to get out of this whole psalm, is how important the Word of God is in our lives, in his life. It is so important. It's mentioned in every verse here in this section that we've gone over except one. It is so important that we have God's law in our hearts, that we are constantly studying it and trying to learn it better, that we are ready to spread it to other people, that we're ready to encourage other people with it. And also, that we use God's word when we're going through adversity, when we're going through hard times, that we look to God's word to find encouragement in it. Our hope and our trust needs to be in God, just like the psalmist was. God is putting him through affliction, and who does he run to? He runs to God, because that's where his hope is. And he knows that God can keep him and help him through this hard time. That is what we need to do every day, whether we're going through a hard time or whether we're going through a good time. Find encouragement in the Lord. It doesn't come from any place else. It is amazing to me how this is a psalm of praise and a psalm, again, that's focused on God's word and the importance of it. And yet all throughout, we see the kind of adversity that he's going through. This is not just a great time for the psalmist. And yet he turns to God. Help us to have this same faith to do the same. When we're downtrodden, when we're going through hard times, who are we going to turn to? Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Beginning in verse 15. This is a story about Elisha and his servant here. When the servant of the man of God arose early in the morning and went out, Behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, Alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against them, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, Please strike this people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. And he led them to Samaria. This is the God that we serve. When trouble is around us, even if there's an entire army that is surrounding us, God is around us with his with his chariots and horses of fire. And he is protecting us. He is keeping us. This is the picture that we need to remember any time that we're going through adversity, when we're going through struggles. Let's run to this God, because there are more with us than there are with him. As we close, I want to read this psalm one more time, this section. And I encourage you to go home and read this entire psalm. It's a beautiful psalm of praise and encouragement. Verse 73. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. Let's pray as we close. Lord God, we're so thankful for this opportunity to come together and to study your word. Help us to, each time that we open your word, to understand it, to seek to learn more about you. Help us to look to you in the midst of our adversity. No matter what we're going through, we know that you can help us through that. And help us to trust in you. Help us to trust in you when things are going well. Because we know that the only reason that things are going well is because of you. Help us as we go throughout the rest of this worship service that we would bring honor and glory and praise to your name. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.